Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Coco Express Show for Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are live. Well, you know, a few months ago, we had an amazing woman on our show. Her name was Miss Gloria Fisher, and she came to us to talk about her son, Brandon Jackson. Now, this show kind of touches me in a really vulnerable spot because we are all just susceptible to different things happening to us in our lives. You just never know what's going to happen when you walk out your door. And when you're a parent, you really, really, really have no idea what happens to your child when they're of a certain age and they walk outside. So her story is really, it's a really unfortunate story, and it's a story that requires our attention. It's a story that garners us to get up and, you know, speak out and do something about it. It's a story that it just really makes you really sit down and ask yourself exactly what is freedom, what does it really mean, and how do we actually achieve it, or is it just an illusion? I'm going to bring to you Miss Gloria Fisher, and she's going to tell us her story, and she's also going to give us an update on how things have gone since she was last with us. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Hi, good evening to you.
How are you?
I'm still here, still fighting.
I know you are. Okay. Now, can you refresh our listeners' memory with regards to the whole story?
Okay. In October of 2006, Brandon was involved in a fistfight with a young man, and it escalated into Brandon being attacked by a 7 or 8 drunken or drugged white men who were yelling racial slurs at him, kill the N-word and other things of that nature. The Brandon took out a pocket knife while he was on the ground being kicked and punched and stomped and held the knife up over his head. And apparently two of the individuals were slashed. What we would find out is that one of the people that was actually that evening was not actually attacked by Brandon, but that we would not learn until the trial began in 2011, 5 years later. So Brandon had no idea whether he injured anybody, but he was told that he did. The police arrested only Brandon. None of the other people involved were charged with the attack on Brandon, but only Brandon was charged with aggravated assault on the two individuals and weapons possession for three-inch knife, which is what he used, held out over his head. At that point, we hired a white lawyer who did nothing for 2.5 years, nothing at all. The case was presented to the grand jury in 2009, which is 2.5 years later. The prosecutor was able to get charges of attempted murder and 9 charges of aggravated assault and weapons possession against Brandon. Still, nothing was charged. No one else was questioned. There were other injuries on that particular individual. The police did not investigate. They had evidence pointing to some other person, but they did nothing to investigate anything except Brandon's a supposed attack of this person. The case was initially in the court of an African American male judge. After the second time going to court, it was moved into the court of a white, older female judge. The attorney that we initially hired, we fired in November of 2009 because he did nothing except try to get Brandon to accept the plea of aggravated assault and go to prison for 5 years. That was what he considered a gift, because Brandon had jigged up, this is the phrase he used, jigged up this person. He accepted everything that the prosecutor said as a fact, even though she had nothing to support her statements. He just accepted it as truth. Brandon qualified for a public defender. Prior to this incident, Brandon had never been in trouble. He had never had any run-ins with the police at all. Since then, he has not had any trouble, any acts of violence or anything since, anything at all. Okay. So we fired the first lawyers, and he qualified for a public defender. The public defender was able to get a statement that was made by the homeowner who witnessed the attack on Brandon, even though she didn't know that Brandon was the one that was on the ground being kicked and punched. But she made a statement to the police, which was withheld by the prosecutor's office for 3 years, and saying that she had never made a statement, even though Brandon knew that she, and it was in some of the discovery that we had received, that indeed she did make a statement, and that would have made a difference in what was presented to the grand jury, in what was how it was presented in general. But it was withheld by the prosecutor's office. But it changed nothing. She wanted Brandon to accept the plea and go to prison. During the Miranda hearing in September of 2011, and that is how far it was pushed back. It just kept getting pushed back and pushed back because Brandon refused to accept the plea. The prosecutor presented DNA and blood evidence, which she wanted to submit into evidence. What she did submit proved that Brandon's blood was on Brandon's clothing, sneakers, but none of the supposed victim's blood was on Brandon. The knife that was supposedly used did not have Brandon's blood or the other individual who was supposedly stabbed. But it was identified as Brandon, as the knife that Brandon had used. The judge accepted it, stating that it would help Brandon's case. The prosecutor questioned it, and so again, it was the trial was pushed back pending DNA experts. The knife was resubmitted by the prosecutor's office, and we would learn during the trial that in the second submission, the detective who turned it over to the a DNA lab, the bag was open that the knife was in, and so we questioned the possibility of evidence tampering. He told the DNA lab, even though we have a statement stating that the bag was open, and they were told to process it anyway. This evidence, it came back with Brandon's DNA on the knife, but still none of the blood of the individual who was injured. In January of 2012, which is this year, now it's going 6 years, we're going into year six, the judge resisted the new lawyers who were black from taking over the case when she finally did agree. She gave them 5 weeks to prepare their defense in an attempted murder trial. The trial and everything about it was built around the injuries of the individual. The witnesses were the people who attacked Brandon, and their statements were all over the place. They admitted to the racial slurs but said that was just the way they talked to each other. It wasn't to be taken seriously. It was just, young people talk that way. One of the people admitted to punching Brandon a few times, but he was only doing it to help someone else, to help the other person who was supposedly on top of Brandon, helping him get away from Brandon. But he was punching him. And all of this was played down. The attack on Brandon was completely played down. And finally, when Brandon took the stand and said he didn't believe that he injured anybody, he didn't think he did it, the judge added as a reason for attempted murder the fact that Brandon did nothing to help the individual that was injured, even though it was, and so it became Brandon's responsibility to help someone who was attacking him and may have been attacked by someone else. So, and she would accept that as a reason for charging Brandon with attempted murder because he didn't assist the person who was supposedly injured. And none of the other individuals who were involved did anything to assist this person either. They all ran away, and they all admitted to running away and not ever speaking to that person again in all these years, ever. Not checking in the hospital to see if he was okay, not ever, nothing to do with this person. But the jury of all 11 whites and one African-American woman found Brandon guilty of aggravated assault in the second degree and aggravated assault on the second individual who admitted to punching Brandon in the head and the back. And they found him guilty of these charges. The judge sentenced Brandon to 8 years for the first individual, which there were no links to his injuries from Brandon except that he said it, that Brandon did it. His toxicology report was not included with the medical report, which the judge accepted as a complete record, but it was missing the complete toxicology report. It did not indicate other injuries to the individual, which were stated by the police, which would have led to someone else being the one that actually caused injury to the person. The judge sentenced Brandon to 8 years for the first individual and 4 years for the second individual to run consecutively. So Brandon is just went into prison in May, and he is sentenced to 12 years. No regard for the 5.5, almost 6 years of this game that they played of trying to drag it out. No regard for that, but he is now in prison in New Jersey, sentenced to 12 years for injuries to someone and being sued by that person for his injuries.
Okay. All of this is, it's mind-boggling to hear all of this and to just process it or wrap your head around it. Now, my question to you is, what has happened since the last time you were with us? Has anything changed for you?
Well, I had it in June hired an appeal lawyer who did nothing. I have had such bad experience with the legal system. It's unbelievable. I paid him a deposit. He did nothing. So I've had to hire new lawyers. Who have just today sent me a message that Brandon's notice of appeal and motion to file has been granted by the Appellate Court of New Jersey. So they can move forward with getting the transcripts and start the appeal process. So that's great news. That's pretty much where we are right now, and just praying and hoping to get through this.
Okay, well, I have been following you, and I did watch you when you were on the National Action Network telecast.
Yes.
I did
Yes.
see that, and I thought that was, you know, it is an excellent way to get the attention of the masses. However, Yes. in doing that, has that helped, you know, get more support for your case?
not as much as I thought it would. It's slow process because there are so many other things happening. I mean, it seems that we don't really take notice of issue. Recently, a young man was shot in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and that has gotten media attention. Brandon's situation is not newsworthy enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we respond to, but unfortunately, we don't get as riled up about it as we do. And it's so unfortunate because there are so many young black men have to prove themselves innocent the minute that something happens. It's already assumed that they must have done something, or they must have, why would you be there in the first place? So the presumption of innocent until proven guilty it doesn't exist for young black men at all. And then it's a matter of them have proving that no, I'm not that person. I am, and Brandon has never been in trouble and has never had any, I mean, he was a respectable young man, and it still didn't matter.
Well, I have to tell you, I, as a kid, I read a book by Donald Goines. It was called White Man's Justice, Black Man's Grief, and it really talked about how the legal system, there are two legal systems, and they don't always benefit us. And then you have the situation recently in New York with the serial killer. I don't know if you saw that, where they had posted this picture of the serial killer. And the picture showed a very clean-cut African-American male. And when all the facts came out, the serial killer wasn't even an African-American at all. And it was a middle-aged Caucasian man. So...
Right.
You know, it's in this day and age, it is unfortunate that we still have to endure this kind of hardship. And it's just, I don't even know, is there a way that we can change this? And I'm asking you because you're right in the middle and you can see things from a perspective that we on the outside can't.
Can we change this? I mean, look at the recent election. People are so offended, and how many of these people cannot even call President Obama President Obama. They are so offended by his presence, and he is half white. No one ever talks about the fact that he is literally true African American. His mother was white. So, you know, I mean, but the fact that his skin is brown, he offends them. It's insane because we can't even deal with that as a country, as a people. We cannot even wrap, not us, but there are people who cannot even wrap their heads around the fact that an African American is the president, intelligent, educated, well-spoken, honorable. None of that counts. They spend so much energy trying to see the bad. There's got to be something bad.
And
so that whole negative mentality, how can we change that? And
yes.
I can't even say it's a majority, but it's there. And throughout the entire trial that Brandon went through, I saw... So, I mean, what I saw and I guess what the jury saw was completely different because I saw people the stories didn't make sense. They had met with the prosecutor within the last 2 weeks of the trial. Their story completely changed from when they couldn't even look at the judge. I mean, everything about it was just, that just doesn't even make any sense. But still, they found Brandon guilty.
And... how is he doing? How is he holding up? Because I know this could be very discouraging for a young man going through this. How is he holding up?
Well, he's had difficult time. I mean, there are bad days and good days, and he still can't understand how this happened, why this happened. And all the years, 6 years, he says, Mom, it's 6 years that I have been punished for being attacked. 6 years I've lost. He had just turned 21 when this happened. He turned 27 in prison.
Mm.
So they are trying to take his entire youth from him. And it had by at the point when the trial started, then it was more about saving face for the prosecutor and the judge because it was in that court for years. So they couldn't afford to lose because then that would have made them look bad and incompetent, which they were. And so a lot of it they just pushed off and said let the appeal deal with it. And you know, I don't even want to be bothered with it. The judge is no longer in criminal court. She was removed after Brandon's case. But then when I say this to people, they say, well, that's not unusual. Nothing's unusual. The law can swing things this way or that and make it everything fit because that's what the law is about. Well, we can do this. We can do that. Everybody, the judge is protected legally. The prosecutor's office is protected legally. So they can do pretty much whatever they want, and you cannot sue them when it's proven against them.
So the prosecutor
pretty much manipulated everything she wanted, and the judge supported her, to whatever statement she wanted to make. She made Brandon seem like a violent, angry, hostile. The judge told Brandon he needed to get anger management counseling while he was in prison. Now, how could she say that when indeed she knew that he was not the one that committed this? And she said, even though you have never had anything against you, you still need to get that anger management because this could happen anytime with a personality like yours.
Wow.
But it didn't. And he walked around the streets for 5.5 years. He was out. He was free. He tried to work. This held him back from everything he wanted to do for 5.5 years. And now, as insult to injury, he's in prison. While he's in there, he goes to Bible study. So his faith has grown. He started out with strong faith, but his faith has grown because he and I, and I'm sure many of our people, believe that only God will deliver him from this evil, because that is how we have to deal with it, and that is the only thing that's keeping him going from day to day, knowing that I'm fighting for him and that there are people like you and people listening who are willing to fight or to make noise or to say, this is wrong. This is wrong. And I let him know whenever I speak with him that I'm still fighting, Brandon. I'm not giving up. You know that it's only going to be a little while and it's not going to be that much longer and you will be free and you can start your life. Because he has not been able to start his life yet.
Mm.
Not yet.
And you, too, are in a holding pattern as well. I mean, although you are out there vigilantly fighting and working hard to make sure that all of the information and documentation is being presented in the proper manner, you, too, have been in a holding pattern as well, because you're not able to move forward with anything until this is taken care of.
Yes, yes, yes. It's horrible. It's horrible. And I can't even tell you. All I do is pray and listen to uplifting gospel and I mean, that's all I have to keep my faith up. To believe that this is going to end, that we're going to get through this, because I have days where I just don't see any light. I don't see that it's going to pass, and that's I have very, very difficult days.
Oh, I'm sure you do, but you know, coming from I'm an outsider, and this breaks my heart, to be totally honest, because it has so the effects that this has on not only you, not only your son, but on our community. It makes it really difficult to really not only wrap your head around it, but to also understand that this could be me. This could happen to me.
Yes.
None of us are exempt from this kind of situation.
And you know what's sad is that we moved from Brooklyn, and we didn't live in a bad neighborhood. My husband and I worked. We had very middle class income. We had a nice house. We had car. You know, we were very middle class people. Brandon grew up in a very middle class environment. I did not raise him to believe that he was better than anyone, but he wasn't worse than anyone. So when this happened, it was difficult because we believed that we had taken him out of the dangerous environment and put him into an environment that was, well, not perfect because that doesn't exist, but at least an environment where he could have more opportunities or have more choices and be treated like, we followed the rules, we obeyed the laws, we voted, we believe that, don't disrespect anyone, if the police stop you, you be respectful because, if you're not, anything can happen. But this happened anyway.
One thing that I've come to understand is that sometimes we look for better and it turns out to be something a lot different because what you do inside your household and what you've done with your son and, in your family environment is inside your doors, and not everybody shares your belief systems, and everywhere is so different. And it's just amazing that you could, I've experienced it myself, so I have to sit here and say from firsthand experience that you can come from some great, great, wonderful experience, background, and upbringing, and walk into darkness and not understand. And I know for a fact that he is completely confused and confounded with the whole dilemma.
Yes, yes. And many of our conversations are me trying to move beyond the understanding. No, we may never understand this. We will never understand this. And the people who have the answers will not give us those answers. They will not say, I did this because. That's just not going to be available. So we have to let go of that or even the expectation of getting that information and just accept that, God willing, justice will be served because it was such blatant disregard for the law, so we have to go to that place. It was such a blatant disregard of the law that justice will be served, and that's it.
Mm. Yes, yes. And that's something that you have to hold on to. You really, and this is where your faith is tested in the most toughest way because of the fact that you don't see anywhere around you where you're going to get what it is that you need, but you're going to get what you need. And it's as difficult as it may appear and as difficult as it may seem, there is something that is happening for a reason,
right?
And we don't always get it, we don't always understand it, and we don't always see it, but I hope Brandon is documenting everything that he feels because he has a story that he can share and he can tell.
And this is what I've told him. Brandon is very talented. He's a very talented artist. But I tell him, Brandon, write down everything. Write down, write the stories of the people you meet because they're, maybe that's what you're supposed to be doing. There are people who don't have a voice. You will have a voice. You can say, I met so-and-so, and this is what I learned from him. This is what his story, this is why he is there. Brandon's met people who were in jail for 2 years because they couldn't come up with $500 bail. For $500. They sat in prison, in jail for years. And these are the people that he's meeting. I mean, he says a lot of people are there because they belong there. But there are people who are there because they had nowhere else to be. I mean, they stole something, food or you know, such, no, and these are the stories that he's getting, and these are the people that he's meeting. And I say, Brandon, you have to write that down. You have to tell it. You have to tell it. I said, you are going to have a great story to tell. It's so important because that has to be why this has happened. There is something you have to do, and he says, yes, I'm writing it. I draw. He's doing all of these things, and so when he comes home, and after he takes his break and catches his breath, he will have something very important to share.
Yes, I do believe so, because just by what you're telling me, there are so many amazing people. I mean, amazing people. And you find amazing people in some really different places. And just because you're in prison, it doesn't stop you from being amazing.
Right.
And this, you know, your son is an amazing person because of the fact that he didn't turn violent after being a victim of violence. And some people do. And that is a testament to who you are as his parent and what you and your husband have done in raising and rearing him shows by just the way that he's handling, conducting himself now, because he could have become very angry and just could have just been very violent behind this and not care and just completely give up. So, you know, there is hope, and there is something there that says far more than any of us could ever understand in regards to who he is and how he's handling it. And I have to thank you.
Well, I thank you. Because honestly, I don't know how I'm surviving this, honestly. I just don't know. And I often tell my husband, tell me that everything's going to be okay. I mean, and I do this to him constantly. I say, tell me that everything's going to be okay. Tell me again. And he has to tell me this constantly. I mean, like, I'll just go to him and say, tell me that everything's going to be okay, because I need to hear that right now. And that's what he's talking to people like you, and I have a great family who's very supportive and just there, and I share that with Brandon. I say everybody is really pulling for you and praying for you, and they send him cards and just to let him know that he is on their mind, that he is still important, and it's going to be okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that from the people who I have been blessed to be able to share Brandon's story with, and the response that I get. So I know that I'm not crazy. I just appreciate that so much.
No. And, you know, historically, we have just had to endure so much. And you feel and you believe that once you reach a certain point in time that things would be different and easier, but it's not. Things are as difficult as they were,
yeah,
400 years ago, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's just got a different spin on it. That's it. Yeah, but we've overcome so many things, and with God's grace and the prayers that are going up, the blessings will come down, and hopefully there will be a break in your case and you will get what it is that you need in order to get some understanding and get your home, get your son home, because that's what it boils down to. You want your baby
right
home.
That's it.
Yeah. And I understand that. And there's not much more to it. You want your baby back home.
Yes. That's all I want. And then everything else will just work itself out. I just really, and he needs that too. And then once we both can recover, then we can deal with other issues. But all I want, that's all I want. Just let him go. Let him come home. That's it. Leave him alone. It's enough. Enough. He suffered enough. He really has. He really has. And he is my hero through all of this. And some days, sometimes I talk to him and he has to lift me up. And he does. And he reminds me of how great God is. And we've been doing that for each other. And that we were always close, but the closeness that we have now can never, I never expected it. And the compassion and the person that he's become is amazing to me. So yeah, he is my hero.
Okay. Well, how can people get in touch? I still have the information. I have it on my webpage, and I'm just going to bring it back up again so that people can go on the webpage and they can see how they can get in contact with him if they want to. Send him an encouraging word in the form of a card. The holidays are coming, and, you know, it's unfortunate, but he's not going to be with his family. And he deserves to be with his family. And if you want to send him a card or something, I'll put all the information up for you on the webpage, The Coco Express Show, that you can send him a card of support, just showing support and concern, because he needs that far more than you probably do at this time because of what he's gone through and what he's going through. So I would like to thank you, Miss Fish, for coming on and telling your story once again. And all I can send and give to you is complete and totally and total honest respect and admiration for your strength, because I'm not sure that I would be as courageous as you.
Yes,
and
you would.
And I thank
you.
You
know why? You know why you would? Because we love our children.
Yes, indeed. You are absolutely
with
right.
Our last breath, with our last breath, and I can say this to all mothers, we love our children, and we'll stand up for them to the very end.
Yes,
especially
yeah.
especially when they're good and they're righteous and they are God's child, and He is God's child.
Okay. I receive that and I accept that, and you are correct. And, you know, I would like for you to have a happy holiday, but I think the best holiday that you could ever have and the best gift that anyone can give you is to have your baby back home. And I send that prayer out for you.
Thank you. I receive that.
Okay. You are quite welcome. Everyone, I want to thank you for listening and tuning in to hearing her story, because it is a story that you need to hear. We oftentimes see one side of a situation in the news, and it's played out in the news in a certain manner. But to have the opportunity to hear the other side and to hear the anguish, the sadness, and the dilemma, and the frustration, and the heartbreak, and the heartache that the people who are experiencing this, it's necessary. It's necessary for us to really know and understand all sides of a story so that we can really be more compassionate to one another and we can be more understanding as to what life really is about. And in this particular situation, it's about justice. That's all. That's all. Just justice for this young man, Brandon Jackson. So I want to thank you, Ms. Fisher, for coming on the show. And hopefully, you know, we'll hear some progress that'll be really good for you in regards to this particular case. And as I said earlier, my prayers go out to you and your family.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are more than welcome. You're welcome back anytime. Anytime you want to come back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a blessed holiday.
You have a blessed holiday as well. And please send my prayers to Brandon.
I will.
Okay.
I will.
Okay. So I want to thank my listeners for their continued support. And you just keep your prayers strong for her and her family, Ms. Fisher and her family. And just be mindful and be alert and be aware. On that note, I'm going to say good evening and be safe. You're welcome.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.